Normally, I'm teaching Sunday school during this time, but you guys are with me today, so how fun. We've been away for the last 2 weeks, so for those of you who are new, we are members here, and we've been here for a while. But I will say this. Having been away for a couple weeks, we listened to the services online, but I got to say that listening to church online just isn't the way it should be. That I really missed being here and being with everyone. And I gotta tell you, that what just sorry. What just happened's a tough act to follow. I mean, how does it get better than that? So for the past few weeks, Pastor Nick and Pastor Jay have been talking about lamenting. And certainly lamenting is a part of prayer. But for the next 2 weeks, I thought we would take a step back and look at the broader picture of what prayer is. And here's what I think is one of the interesting things about prayer, is prayer, really, when we think about it, is so basic to Christianity. We just heard small children talk about how they prayed to the infinite God of the universe to get saved. And yet, what I will tell you is that there are hundreds and hundreds of books written about prayer. And that when I talk to people about prayer, I often hear, well, I'm uncomfortable with prayer, or I don't really know how to pray. And so I want to take a step back today and really just look at big picture part of prayer. We're going to read a lot of scripture today, but we're going to end up in Luke 11. So as we think about what prayer is, let's start with it. Father, we love you. Father, we just praise you and thank you for who and what you are. Oh, Lord, I thank you for salvation, for what we just witnessed, for the fact that you can break through any heart, that, Lord, when the light of the gospel shines in, that there's just nothing we can do. And we just pray that today, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, that the light of the gospel would shine in. And that Lord, as we look at how we talk to you, help us to remember who we're talking to. And that Lord, I pray that every word that I speak today will not be my own, that you would fill me with your Spirit so wholly that not one word is from me, but all from you, and that you would prepare and soften hearts to hear your words and not mine. For Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about what prayer is, prayer at its base level is communication with God. And so it sounds like this mystical thing. For those of you who are kind of my age and remember Raiders of the Lost Ark, you remember that Indiana Jones movie, that the big thing in the Raiders of the Lost Ark was that they wanted to find the Ark of the Covenant because it was a way to communicate with God. It was this mystical thing that they needed to be able to communicate with God. And yet, here's what we know. It's so much easier than that. That you right now and every moment of every day have access to God. But I want to look at it in a way that we acknowledge what communication is. And that is that communication is a two-way street. The communication is that I am talking to someone and that I am then listening to that person. And that often when I listen to sermons about prayer or you hear about prayer, it really comes across as me talking at God. And that it, it's not like I'm actually talking to another person. So I want you to think about the last time you had a conversation with one of the me, I people. Do you all know who I'm talking about? That when you talk to them, it's all about me, and that they are not really interested in any way in what you have to say or think. Sometimes we approach prayer in that way. That we approach prayer as, I'm talking at you, God, but I really don't care what you think. I just want you to know what I think. And what I want to help us appreciate this morning is that it's more than that. That God does speak to us, but if we're going to have that, then what we need is that we need to listen to God. And so, its most basic definition, prayer is talking to God. It's the communication of the human soul with the Lord who created the soul. Prayer is that primary way that we communicate with Him. But we're going to talk about what ways that He communicates with us. And I want to read this from a book called The Listening Life. And this, I will say, God really, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about prayer today is that this is something that God has been convicting me about lately, that it's really something that I needed to hear. And in this book, The Listening Life, McHugh says this: listening is something that we choose. Listening is a practice of focused attention. Hearing is an act of the senses. But listening is an act of the will. In listening, you center not only your ears, but also your mind, heart, and posture on someone or something other than yourself. It's a chosen obedience, like soldiers falling into line the moment their commanding officer calls them to attention. I want you to hear that, because what he said is, listening is an act of the will. That throughout Scripture, and we just saw it as we're studying Isaiah in Sunday school, that people can hear without listening. Does that make sense to everybody? Everybody with me? That idea of you can blah, 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 blah. That's what some of you are hearing right now. Blah, 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 blah. And you're not actually listening. Listening is an act of the will where it says, I actually care about what I'm hearing, and it makes a difference in me. That when we talk to each other, that's important. But when we talk to God, it's really important. That we, as we're pouring our hearts out to Him, and we're going to look at how Christ taught us to pray later, but as we're pouring our heart out to Him, that it's not just this me blah, 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 blah at Him, but that I'm thoughtful during it. So we're gonna look at ways that God actually speaks to us. But one of the resources, and for those of you who are readers, this is Andrew Murray's book, With Christ in the School of Prayer. It's a tough read. For those of you who've read it, you know that. But I will say it's worth it. He says, as long as we look on prayer chiefly as the means of maintaining our own Christian life, we shall not know what it is meant to be. But when we learn to regard it as the highest part of the work entrusted to us, the root and strength of all other work, we shall see that there is nothing that we so need to study and practice as the art of prayer aright. That what he's saying is this: prayer is worth you thinking about. It's not something you do before you eat a meal. Although that's not a bad thing, by the way, if you pray before you eat. But it's so much more than that. And that I feel like sometimes, and I'm not saying this ever happens at this church, but I'm sure there are other churches where this happens, that prayer is just something that's a box we're checking either at the beginning or the ending of some event, and then we get on with the business of fixing whatever it is we need to do, right? That we're not actually coming to God and saying, God, we need you in this. We need your wisdom. we need your guidance in this, and then actually look to him for it. That we need to be careful that prayer doesn't just become an exercise, that another box that we check, that it's real. And so as we think about that, and as we think about the fact that this is a conversation, we say, yeah, but I've not heard an audible voice from God recently. That what are you talking about that he talks to me? Well, the primary way that God speaks to us as believers is through his word. It is his written word that he gave us. And that one of the things, I read two books recently on listening to God. One is The Listening Life, the other is Hearing God by Dallas Willard. And in there, what impacted me in that is that often I didn't look at scripture reading as God talking to me directly on that day to meet that day's needs. It was another box to check off to say, well, I did my devotions today. I read my passage of scripture. I'm good because that box is checked. But what I'm going to say is, think about scripture this way. Use the phrase that Samuel used when he was a little boy and God came to him. Do you remember the story? So, I'll give you the reference. It'll come. Hold tight. I'll get the reference. But Samuel was a little boy. Remember, Hannah had Samuel and took him to the temple, and he was under Eli, and he was in bed one night, and the Lord came to him, and he thought it was Eli. So he went to Eli and said, you know, what do you want? Eli said, I didn't call you. So he went back. He said, go back to bed. Same thing happened again. Samuel's in bed. God called to him. He went to Eli. He said, what do you want? Eli said, whoa, 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 I see what's going on here. When the next time it happens, Samuel, I want you to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's how we want to approach scripture reading. That tomorrow or today or later, as you pick up your Bible, don't just pick it up like a book. Pick it up and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Because God will give you what he wants you to hear that day if you actually will listen to him. And so, really, as we think about communication, everything is filtered through scripture. So we're going to look at other ways that God speaks to us through creation and through people and preaching and even dreams and visions in rare circumstances. But what everything that you hear from God is filtered through the Bible, because God will never speak to you in a way that contradicts what he's already told us in scripture. That if you have, you know, if somebody's preaching or teaching and you think, wow, that really spoke to me, but it contradicts what's in God's word, then that wasn't God speaking to you, because he's never going to contradict himself. But God does speak to us in other ways. And one of the great ways that God speaks to us is through creation. And if we look at Psalm 19, which is just powerful, the first verse in Psalm 19 is, the heavens tell of the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands. I will say, if you make the effort, and when you're outside, and when you're looking at creation, look at the stars and think. There are billions and billions of stars. I just heard on the news this week that there's going to be a nova, which is something about a star dying, and it creates this thing in the heavens. Think about the size of stars and the numbers of stars and the fact that they are thousands and millions of light years away, and that God breathed those into existence. That during creation, it says that he made the stars also. Billions of stars that are just these incredible things, that God made those. And as you look up to him, up at the stars, you think, There's someone who made that. But it also can speak to us in smaller things. I was tying up peas this week, which is just a fun job for those of you who grow peas. But you know the amazing thing about peas is, and other plants, is that when you put them on the wire, the pea will actually send out a runner that will wrap around the wire. Do you understand the technology that goes into a plant being able to grow around something and hold it up? And God just did that. Open a beehive. That bees are just the most amazing thing, that God speaks to us through creation. That when you look at things, don't just take things for granted. Actually be thoughtful. And when you see it, thank God for that. Say, you know what, Lord? Thank you that you made that. Poison ivy, I have to talk to him about that. We'll chat about that when we get to heaven. I do have lots of questions for God. Poison ivy's one of them. That's what his purpose was in that, I don't know, but he must have had some purpose, and he has that. So what about other ways? Well, God can speak to you through other people. Have you ever had that circumstance where you were really struggling with something and you were praying that God would give you wisdom and direction in that area of your life, and you just happened to talk to somebody that day, and they just happened to say the right thing to you? It wasn't just happened, that God does that. But here's what you need to remember. Whether it's other people talking to you, whether it's preachers or teachers, God is never, I'm going to keep back to this, God is never going to say something that contradicts his word. God is always going to be consistent with his word. That he's not going to tell you to leave your wife and go and do some crazy thing because, you know, you had this dream that was what God wanted. No, that's not how God works. God always is consistent with his word. But remember, it's an act of your will to listen for him to say those things to you. And so dreams and visions, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Recently in the Middle East, particularly closed nations, God has been using dreams and visions in the Muslim people in ways that is just incredible. That he's revealing himself, and that is the way that they get saved. Now, what I'm not saying is every crazy dream you have at night is from God and is him telling you to do something. What I'm saying is that in rare circumstances, those dreams and visions do happen. But remember, they are always, always going to be consistent with his word. Okay, so next, so now we see that it's communication, that we're talking to our Heavenly Father, and that we're listening by reading his word, by looking at creation, by listening to what other people are saying into our lives, by listening to teaching and preaching. But how should we pray? Well, the first and most important, and we're going to see this in our passage today, is that you come humbly before the Lord. And we're going to see as we look at Luke 11, we're going to see almost an irony in the way that we come to God. So in Luke 11, when Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray, he tells them to start with Daddy. And I just, wow. The infinite God of the universe allows you to call him Dad. Think about that for a minute. That should humble you and also help you feel how much God loves you. But in Luke 18, and this is important as we do this, that as he starts that parable, and this is the parable about the Pharisee and the publican praying in the synagogue, and the Pharisee is standing over in his corner, and he looks down and he says, oh, Lord, thank you for not making me like that guy, because that guy's a loser and I'm not. That he didn't come before God humbly. But here's how that parable starts. In Luke 18, verse 9, it says, "Now he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." That the minute you start believing that you're better than other people, that you somehow deserve God's love more than somebody else, that's who God was talking to here. And so the first and foremost posture that we take when we pray is that we're humble. And that we, as we enter the presence, and we're gonna unpack that more as we get to Luke 11, but the first and most important thing is that you humbly come before him. The second is that you are sincere and truthful. Now, I think this is kind of a paradoxical thing to say, right? Because it's not like God doesn't already know, right? So in John 2, 23 through 25, and here it says, this verse always impacts me every time I read this. It says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, and they observed his signs, which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, because he knew all people, and because he did not need anyone to testify about mankind, for he himself knew what was in mankind." You're not fooling God. There. I said it out loud. Why try? But often, I think we delude ourselves as we go into prayer. Self-delusion is pretty easy. And the older I get, the more I realize how much of a problem that is. And I picture myself as a thin, handsome, young man. I'm deluded, right? That's not even close. That the idea is that sometimes we go into God's presence with an attitude that does not reflect reality. And here's good news, bad news, guys. It's not like you're fooling him. And so why not just be honest? That's where I think this series on lamenting has been powerful for me, is that it's okay for you to say to God, "I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm upset, I don't know what to do about this." It's okay. He already knows. And there's value in articulating those thoughts to God. Have you ever had the circumstance where you had this idea in your head, and it was a brilliant idea in your head? Like that you had envisioned this, it was great. And then for me, I go to April and I say, "Hey, here's what I'm thinking. Wouldn't this be cool?" And she just, like, as I say it out loud and look at the look in her eyes, I say, "Wow, that was really stupid." But here's the point. The point is, there's value in saying things out loud. Sometimes when you say them out loud to God and you hear the words come out, it somehow in our heads, we can delude ourselves pretty easily. I'm pretty good at it, actually. But then when you say it out loud, then all of a sudden you say, "Oh, yeah, you're right. That is really difficult. That's really dumb." Anyway, so the point is, God wants you to come to him honestly and sincerely, and so don't bother trying to delude God. Come and pour your heart out, and that's the what we want. The next two are, when you pray expectantly and persistently. We're going to cover those two things next week when we cover the next verses in Luke 2. But here's the point. The point is, you are praying to the infinite sovereign God of all that is, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who can do anything. I'm going to give an example, and this doesn't always happen, but I was talking with Nick about this earlier. There was an event in Sodus Point yesterday. Well, there was supposed to be an event in Sodus Point yesterday. Some spiritist festival with Reiki festival and kind of witches and all of those things. And Nick and I were talking about, you know, what our response as believers should be for that. And as we were together, we prayed that God would make it rain and it would just be a miserable day on the day of that festival. Now, it doesn't always happen this way, guys, but I will tell you that God answered our prayer incredibly yesterday, that God ruined the festival. We are praying to the God who, was that difficult for God at all? No. We are praying to a God who can do anything. When I pray for someone who's sick, I pray expectantly and saying, Lord, you can do anything. And I trust you that you can. Now, where we're going to see is, does God always answer the prayer that we, the way we want it to be answered? Absolutely not. But that's the point. And we're going to look at this as Christ was teaching his disciples to pray. And as we look at the part where it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that we pray that our wills are in alignment with God's. And that as he speaks to our hearts, that he shows us what his will is. But that we should pray expectantly. Okay, we are out of time. All right, so here's what we're going to do. And I thought that this might happen. This is a two-part series, good news. Next week, we're going to look at Luke 11. And we're going to see that Christ was with his disciples. Christ was praying with, we're not sure if he was praying with his disciples. We just know that they were observing him pray. And I want you to, and in kind of preparation as we get ready for that next time, have you ever watched someone pray or listened to someone pray and say, wow, I feel like they really know who they're talking to? That you feel the presence of God when they're praying. That his disciples looked and said, Christ, we were just watching you pray. Can you teach us to pray like that? And so next week, we're going to see how Christ taught his disciples to pray. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are who you are. You, the infinite God of all that is. You, the creator and sustainer. You are capable of anything and everything. And that the fact that you allow me to talk to you is just humbling and wonderful. I pray that this week we would listen to you, that we wouldn't just pray at you, but that we would pray to you, recognizing that you're real, and that we would listen for your response, that as we read your word, we would look for you to tell us what it is you want us to hear, and that then we would align our wills with your wills, and that we would follow you in all that we say and that we do and that we are. Pray that you would go with us this week, that wherever we go, we would wear you well, and that you would shine as a light through us. For we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.